Looking at the book of Colossians, so if you've got your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Colossians, that would be great. Thank you very much. What a privilege it is to share the word of God, the word of his wonderful Savior to us. I was, as usual, speaking to the Lord this morning and thanking him for modern technology and all that we've got now. And just this week, I was told by someone, well, Trevor bought an old piece of equipment this week, which is obsolete. Isn't it amazing how technology moves on so quickly? And so Trevor bought this piece of equipment. Anyway, you have to have a lead to go to something. But now you can get one wireless, so you need to update yourself. So I was just there in prayer thinking to the Lord, gosh, amazing this technology, wireless. He said, Terry, it's nothing new whatsoever. I've been speaking to mankind for millennia, wirelessly.
I'm not listening to David Cope.
So, is there anyone from 412 here? If there is, welcome. We're pleased to have you. God bless you. I know that you are in here today and to take some notes, perhaps. So let's see what we can come up with from the book of Colossians. I love the book of Colossians. It was written approximately 60 years AD by Paul. And Paul was in Rome as a prisoner, of course. And he'd never been to the Colossian church or the people. And he may have done later, but I don't think so. But this was his heart for the Colossian church. So, Father God, we give you praise and thanks as we look at your word. We can gain understanding and wisdom. You can change our lives on a daily basis because of something your word touches our spirit being. And so today, Lord, we want to be open. We want, as Paul wrote this, Lord God, what it meant to them and what it means to us today. So, Father, help us as we study your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we'll start off and we'll read probably the first 8 verses, and then we'll go on from there as we study. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel, that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. I just want to go through those few verses to start with and ask us to question whether we, as it speaks to us today, have an understanding of what we should have. And I'll go from verse 3. We always thank God. Are you a thankful person? Do you really come before God and thank him with a true heart? Because thankfulness is one of the things that makes us as a Christian different from other people. Thankfulness should always be on our lips, should always be in our heart. And as I look around the world today, I am so thankful for where I live, for this country, for our government, for our Queen, and for the way in which the United Kingdom over the years have been a great place to live. Do you know, even in the world today, there are 2.3 billion people with no sanitation. I'm thankful for the flush on the loo. I'm thankful for those things. I want to tell you how blessed we are. Maybe you're here today and think, well, I haven't got much to be thankful for. I tell you, you're in a people who this world has never known the, should I say, the prosperity, and I mean that in the right way, in all the good things that we have to share together in this country. You only have to look at the supermarkets, and by the way, I say this to you, 1/3 of the food produced in this world is thrown away. 1/3 of all. We should be so thankful. There is enough food to go round this world for people to eat, drink, and have enough, but it's sharing that stuff that we have and enabling us as Christians to show the love of Christ and get onto our parliament and people to be able to distribute and do these things. We should be so thankful that there is an overflow from what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, because I tell you, there could be days when we don't have as much. But be thankful for today. Be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank him every day of your life for the cross. Thank him for the blood that has set you free from the law and sin and death. Thank him from the bottom of your heart. I just want to read just one small scripture from Romans 1:21. It says this: For although they knew God, so they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and foolish, and their hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and reptiles. And it goes on and on. It's because they didn't have thankful hearts. God changed their thinking. He changed their being. A thankful heart pleases the Lord our God. So let's have thankful hearts. It's what he's writing to these people. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank him every day of my life. And I mean this for every person at River of Life Church. I can't name you all, but I thank God for River of Life Church. I thank God that the love and compassion we have together. I thank God that we can help one another along the path. And let's continue to do that even more and more. Then he says, when we pray for you because we have heard of your faith. How's your prayer life? Do you pray enough? Do you know that you pray enough? Or do you know that you don't, would be a better thing. Do you know you don't pray enough? Do you not come before the Lord enough in prayer and thanksgiving? And again, I'm just going to read a few words from E.M. Bounds, who was a great man of prayer, etc. He says this: Nothing distinguishes the children of God so clearly and strongly as prayer. It is the one infallible mark and test of being a Christian. Christian people are prayerful. The worldly minded are prayerless. Christians call on God. The world ignores God and does not call on his name. But the Christian has to cultivate continual prayer. It must be habitual, but it must not be a habit. It is a duty, yet it is one which rises from far above and goes far beyond the ordinary implications of the term. It is the expression of a relationship with God, a yearning for the divine communion. It is the overflow, an upward flow, of the inner life towards its original fountain. It is a statement of the soul's origin, a claiming of sonship which links man to the eternal. Prayer changes everything. Prayer changes everything. Let's be a people who really want to please and pray to our Father in heaven. Hallowed be his name. Let's be a people who really want to lead lives that are worthy of our Saviour. Let's come as a people and remember those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Let's come in prayer and be forgiving to people who have hurt us or upset us. As Barbara shared today, I can tell you, Barbara was so devastated by what happened to her and a member of her family. But as prayer continues, it comes correct. God answers our prayer. Restoration. Pray for people who have been unkind to you. Bless them. Don't curse them. Bless them. Let the words of our mouths in prayer be what God wants us to say. Ask the Holy Spirit to so enrich our lives that we just fall so much in love with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We better move on, I think. And then he comes on to here and says, because you have heard of your faith in Jesus and your love you have for all the saints. What a wonderful thing when you get a letter like this from Paul, when the Colossian church and all the churches were struggling so badly for the first 300 years under the Roman Empire. They were persecuted, they were killed, they were, well, I can't tell you, it was a horrendous time for the church, absolutely awful. And to get a letter of encouragement, to get a letter of hope, to get a letter from someone like Paul, who was in a Roman prison, just think of that alone, and think, I'm going to write letters of encouragement to people. I'm going to write to the churches to encourage them and help them on their way. And this word of love, if you know, it's that agape love from the Lord and for us to have. And the faith and love. Now, faith and love in this verse, they're like strawberries and cream. They go together really well. Faith and love, let me say this, is just amazing. Galatians 5:6 says, the only things that count is faith expressing itself through love. That's the way faith works, it expresses itself through love. Love and faith go together. Do you know, the grace of God and the patience of God is just absolutely staggering. I want to tell you, it is staggering. And the love that we share together is the pulpit that other people read and see. We are the pulpit of the Lord Jesus Christ as we go about our business. And I've had some really good times this last week. I'm not great at cutting our front hedge. It isn't a chore that I really enjoy very much. But I was cutting the hedge this week. And along came a guy from up the road, and he was chatting. And I said, I believe one of your sons is a Christian. Are any of the others of your family? He said, no, just this one. He said, actually, Terry, he said, what actually is a Christian? What is a Christian? How do you know you're a Christian? So I said, I'll just quote you Jesus Christ. That's the best thing I can do. And that is, unless you are born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, Terry, I'm not a heathen. So there was his words. I'm not a heathen. I said, no, I never said you were a heathen. I said, but I can tell you, if you want eternal life, that's what it means. And so we had a little chat together, and I told him a little bit about Jesus, and I could see his eyes were sort of glazing over a bit, or being sort of... So he just tapped me on the shoulder, he said, thanks, Terry, bye, and off he went. But I think we should use every opportunity we can. The guy who was buying our house, he's a really nice fella, but he's had back trouble for years and years. And so he was buying. I said, Bill, I said, would you like me to pray for your back? And yeah, why? I said, well, I'm a Christian, and I want you to know that I want to share Christ with you, etc., etc. And he said, oh, so he sat down. He said, before we pray for my back, he said, do you know, he was Olympian, and he held the discus throw for 26 years, being the best discus thrower in the United Kingdom, Bill Tancred. Anyway, so Bill was saying to me, Terry, when I was in Australia once, one of the people I was competing against, an Australian, said, he was a Christian. He said, and he shared his faith with me. He said, what about this faith? Just tell me a bit. So he sat down there and we had a little chat, and then I said, would you like me to pray for your back? He said, I really would, Terry. I really would. And I believe he'll become a Christian. I really do believe he's searching. And I could tell you two or three more people who have prayed for, I've prayed for this week, shared Jesus with. And I just want to encourage you. That's what love and faith is. Loving those people who are not in the kingdom. Loving those people so much you do not want them to go to hell. You do want them to be saved. And this is what he's saying to the Colossian church. Your faith and your love, that spring up from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel. The gospel is the best news you'll ever hear. The gospel is his name, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's just amazing. And it's bearing fruit all over the world. How fruitful are you? Oh, I nearly brought something here today to sort of so we could understand, but I didn't in the end. Nita bought some carrots, some really lovely pulled carrots, and with all the tops on and everything, and some of them were about this length and some were really small, but you know, they were from the same crop, they were from the same field, they'd probably had the same feed on them and everything, but some of them had grown deeper and deeper into the ground, like a taproot, if you like. And the fruit can only bear if you've got a really good rooted system. Really, you've got to be rooted in the word, and it tells you that. You need to be rooted. This is what Paul is saying to the Colossians. Be rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Get to that place where you become, he didn't say this, become a carrot so that you can really, really stand the strength of time. Not something which is so feeble that falls over at everything that crosses your path. I didn't think I would bring them because I'm probably going to eat them for lunch, but there we go. So are you a fruit grower? Are you a fruit person? Are you someone who really wants and does share the gospel with people? Because it's you and me who are going to share this gospel to extend the kingdom of heaven on earth. We are the tool that Jesus uses to extend his kingdom. We're the people who are kingdom builders. We're the people who are filled with the Spirit to enable us to be the power of Jesus as we walk on this earth. And you have learned it, it says in verse 7, and you have learned this from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who has also told you of our love for you in the Spirit. He learned it. Sometimes something is learned. Sometimes we get it straight away, and another time we have to learn it. So put your mind to learn things. Don't just go home from a prayer meeting or a service or a talk and think, I need to learn something. I need to change things in me, in my spirit being, to enable me to walk more fully in what God wants for me, a child of his. Let us be faithful in what we do. Let me say this, and as it goes on here in a minute, it says this. We'll now come to verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying. It goes on and on saying, praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Have you and I got wisdom? Are you a wise person in your decisions you make? I've been an idiot sometimes in my life and probably will be in the future. But what I'm saying is, ask God, make sure you are in wisdom and wisdom is in you. And I want to just share, you know it, but I'm just going to be here and share this with you. It's from Proverbs. It's from Proverbs 4. Wisdom is supreme. Listen, my sons and daughters, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give to you sound learning, so do not forget my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender, and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. How are your finances? They're going well? You've got understanding with your finances? This is the first time in British history where the credit card borrowing is over £200 billion. First time ever. £200 billion. You see, is that wise? No, it's not wise. People nowadays think that a credit card or whatever, they can have what they want. Well, there's a day of payment. There's a day of coming back and paying for what you've had. And the rating on credit cards is through the roof when it comes to percentages. This is a practical word. This is a practical thing to say. Get wisdom, guys, because if you don't control money, money will control you. It's that simple. If you don't control money, money will control you. Get wisdom. Get knowledge. And we'll go on a little further as we go down here. 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, again here, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious riches, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Now, patience is, it used to be called, patience used to be called the queen of virtues. The queen of virtues. Let me tell you what, when I was looking this up, virtue, this is what it says, virtue. It means goodness, righteousness, morality, uprightness, integrity, honesty, honor, decency, respectability, worth, trustworthiness, etc. And all those things as a Christian is what it says here, patience. And we will get onto this a bit more further on because it does say here virtue. And we need to understand all those ways and all those things. Patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. You couldn't do this on your own. It's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's qualified you. Do you know what it means to qualify? Do you know what it means to qualify you? Jesus Christ gave his life to qualify you, that you may have the standing with Jesus, that you may be there in the triumphant procession, that the trumpet call of God, when it comes, you will be one of them raised up. Isn't that great? Don't you want the world to know the good news of Jesus Christ? It's the most wonderful news. He has qualified you and I. The word says very often, just say what the Holy Spirit tells you to say. And that's what we need to be as we go along and someone chats to us. Be there. You're qualified to do this because the Spirit lives in you. You're qualified. Don't be shy. You're qualified. Jesus will speak through you. You're qualified. He's done it for you. So let's do that in a great and wonderful way. It says this, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Isn't that wonderful news? I just say this, 1 Peter 4:1, it says this, 1 Peter 1:4, sorry. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept for you in heaven, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, amazing. And we come to the last part of this talk this morning, and it says this: for he has rescued us, you and me, from the dominion of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption. He paid the price. He bought the ticket with his blood on behalf of you and me. He did it all. He did it all. What we have to do is to be disciples of Jesus Christ. I ask us today, what sort of disciple are you? Is Jesus proud of you? Is he pleased with you? Do you know that we all need to pull our socks up sometimes? Sometimes we need to have a reckoning. We need to have a look and see, yeah, I could do this a bit better, or God in me can achieve this or do this. I really do believe sometimes, like you may have a medical check, I don't know if you do or not, but we need to have a check sometimes and think to ourselves, are we really living? Are we really living in the fullness that Jesus Christ paid for on that cross at Calvary, on the atonement? Are we living the fullness of that? Or are we below par? Is there more that we could do? Because I've heard someone say this in the past, and I really, really believe this with all my heart. When we get to heaven and we see what has been purchased for us, and we see the amazing wonder and love that God has got for each one of us, I believe that we're going to say, if only I'd known, I'd have done more. If only I'd have known. Well, we do know, it's just our selfishness that stops us knowing more. And today I want the Holy Spirit to convict us of areas of our lives where we need to pull our socks up. I really do believe he loves you. You're saved, you're sanctified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not meaning that, or you walk in grace and in love. But in that love, I want us to love Jesus Christ so much that he is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is the ruler. He's the umpire of your and my life. We have that redemption, which is just so amazing, so divine. It really, really is. Ephesians 1 says, having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to his praise and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't think the guys here who laid my carpets the other day, he said he'd like to come this morning to church. He said, I've read the Bible through 3 times. He said, I've read the Quran, I've read about Buddha, and I am really hungry to know the truth of God. So he said, you told me you're a Christian. I said, where's the church you go to? I said, River of Life. He said, Langer Road, isn't it? I said, yes, do you know the building with like the top? He said, yeah, I think I do. He said, well, I'm going to try and get there because I really want to know more. And the guy who was helping him, he said, well, I'm not a Christian, I'm not religious. And I said, well, I'm not religious, but I am a Christian. So anyway, he said, hearing what you're saying as Christians and stuff, he said, I just want to tell you, he said, I'm fairly poor, I live in a one-bedroom bungalow. He said, I'm not wealthy at all, he said, but something touched my heart the other week. He said, and I wrote out a check for £1,000 for children in need. And I said to him, you put a lot of Christians to shame. what I said to him. You put a lot of Christians to shame. Well done, you. I said, God loves a cheerful giver. He really does. And that really hit me. I thought, there's one of them who was searching for God. There's another one who wants to know more about God and his ways and what he's doing. And redemption has been paid, bought for. The price has been paid. I've gone 10 minutes over, but I tell you, next week you will see, if you'd like to read Colossians, the next part is the supremacy of Christ. This is a fabulous part of Colossians. It really is. And I pray, Lord God, as we help us this week, Lord God, each of us, to read the book of Colossians, to see this is all about you, Jesus. This is all about you. Guide us by your Spirit as we read your word to be changed, Lord God, to be changed. All these words that mean something to us. Father, the thankfulness, our prayer life, faith and love, fruit in the Spirit, wisdom and redemption, we may take to heart by your Spirit that which you have called us to do, and may we do it all for you with a willing heart. In Christ's name, amen.